Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whether your business needs cars, vans, or larger commercial vehicles, you can rent from the best lineup in the UK with Enterprise. And with flexible long-term rental, you can get vehicles for as long as you need them, from minutes to months. Whatever the mission, Enterprise's mobility experts can build a bespoke solution to suit your business needs. Visit enterprise.co.uk/business to find out more.
This is TalkSport Daily.
Hello and welcome to the TalkSport Daily Podcast with me, Andy Goldstein, doing my very best Danny Kelly impression. On the pod today, we'll hear Adrian Durham ranting about VAR again. A defiant Unai Emery live on TalkSport despite losing at Leicester. And the biggest controversy of the weekend when Jeff Brazier, our own Jeff Brazier, admitted he follows two teams. First, here's myself and Simon Jordan on The Final Word, looking back at Manchester City's defeat at Anfield to league leaders Liverpool.
I'm just done with Pep now. I'm just fed up of it, the nonsense. Always complaining to the referees after the game. It's not the referee's fault, Pep. You've left a £60 million player on the bench and playing the little ball bloke that can't kick a ball. You know?
I mentioned it to my colleagues before the start. I thought, wow, what is that? What's he trying to prove there?
I don't know what he's doing. I think, you know what? He's had the glory days, Pep, and everyone's like, Pep's there. He's a glory man. He's a man, but I'm fed up of him. When he's interviewing now, I'm so fed up of it. I'd bring in a young man. I'd let Arteta take the job, or bring Mourinho for it. I'd take Mourinho as the manager.
Hold the bus, Robert. Are you serious? After what he did to your local rivals, that the smell of the club that he left behind at Main Manchester.
We need a quick manager to come in and sort this lot out. We cannot defend. We are awful at defending. Kyle Walker is dreadful. That Claudio Bravo would not save a shot from my toddler.
Colin, let's be fair. Did you enjoy the Manchester City fan there?
Sometimes Christmas comes a bit early. So, you know, you just have to. And you know, the reality is all these people who are crying about fouls and so on, life is tough, but the reality is the best team on the planet right now just stuffed the team that thinks it was the best team on the planet. And that's just the reality of it. We're better, they're not. End of.
Here's another Manchester City fan. This is Alistair. Hello, Alistair.
Hello, how are we? Okay.
Well, of course, I enjoyed the intensity of the game. You obviously came out on the thin end of the result. What do you want to say, my friend?
Well, I'm absolutely furious with the past two callers. I'll refer back to the first City fan, supposed City fan. I'm probably thinking that's a Spurs fan or an Arsenal fan, something like that.
How dare you? How very dare you? As if a Spurs fan would do such a thing.
In a little bit of disarray themselves, so they think, oh, they'll chip in.
You keep your head down when you're in disarray. Go on, anyway.
The comments that dude was saying, I mean, come on, just absolutely stupid. And then you got a Liverpool fan thinking that they're the best team in the whole world. I'm sorry, but last season, what were we, 8-9 points behind them at what sort of March, April? Who won the league?
Seven,
forgive me. Just absolutely pathetic. Today, very frustrating. I thought the first 3-4 minutes City looked live. I was like, wow. We're expecting that. I thought, you know what? Yeah, we're up for this game. As soon as the whole handball situation, VAR sort of checked it, I was screaming, get the ball out so VAR can check it. But next thing, that Fabinho was absolutely pulled out a blinder. And I think from there, the heads have just completely gone. But how on earth anybody could say, oh, we need a freshen up, change of manager Are you absolutely joking? If we could even convince Pep Guardiola to do what Fergie did and have him there, even at 10 years, would be like the answer to all my prayers.
And here's Unai Emery on Game Day, your verdict from Saturday evening, speaking to Sam Matterface.
No away win since the opening weekend of the season. What do you put this defeat down to?
Good evening. We were playing against one good team, and also I think we played and we worked with our game plan, and we did well. And we got the chances. And if the first half we scored one goal, maybe the match was coming better for us. The second half we started also pushing, we started creating chances, we started getting their box. And we conceded also some chances from them, but the match was very equal for both. And the first goal when they scored it is the moment maybe to do the difference for lost that opportunity.
The match may well have been equal for certain parts of it, but Leicester obviously ended up winning the game by 2-0. And ultimately, over the course of the last few months and weeks, you haven't managed to win away from home regularly. What do you think the problem is with that?
Yes, ultimately we lost, it's clear, but also because they are playing at home, they are feeling here strong, and today the difference was they scored their opportunity, and when we had chances, we didn't score, but I think we need continuing and thinking in the next match against Southampton at home and keep stand up for the work every day, and also our way was the next match, and think each match for the possibility to achieve the 3 points, the next 3 points, and also take confidence.
Are you concerned, because with bad results and results have taken a dip, comes scrutiny, with scrutiny comes pressure, do you think that there will be people talking about your future now, and are you concerned about that?
I am a coach. I know when we are losing, the supporters, they aren't happy. But also yeah. I know we are going to work for recover that situation, and when we will win, they are going to be happy, and this is my challenge now.
Do you think you can recover the situation?
Yes, of course.
Staying with Saturday's coverage on TalkSport, here's Adrian Durham getting understandably heated about the use of VAR at White Hart Lane.
Scott blows the whistle, boos from the Spurs fans, and we passed firework night, Adrian. We had VAR fireworks here, and Sheffield United remain unbeaten in the Premier League away from home, and they remain 3 points clear of Spurs in the Premier League. What a performance from the Blades. Tottenham under par today. It's finished here. Spurs 1, Sheffield United 1.
Well, Sheffield United will have mixed feelings about this. They'll be delighted that their unbeaten away record continues, but they may well feel like they were robbed. An absolutely disgraceful VAR decision in this game. You will find out all about it later. Absolute disgrace that a Sheffield United goal was ruled out. That would have been the equaliser. They went on to get the equaliser. It finished one apiece. Massive, massive controversy here, though. And Spurs are held. Spurs 1, Sheffield United 1.
That decision also has turned me against VAR, which I originally thought was my own love child. Now on to Mark Sagers, Ray Houghton and Jamie O'Hara, also talking about, you guessed it, that blinking VAR.
The one that's really getting me now is this: is the offside
it's
one.
Ridiculous.
I mean, we talk about armpits, we talk about toenails, we talk about hair. Any minute, someone will be growing their hair into a ponytail to shake it so that they can get themselves into an onside position. Why don't they just say, same as when you win a race at any level at 100, 200 metres or 400 metres or whatever in a major tournament, your chest is where we'll take the measurement from. Nothing else, your chest. So that means if your foot's ahead or your head's ahead or your arm's ahead, you're onside. And why not?
Yeah.
That makes much more sense. But add to that, Mark, tell me this one. Mike Riley, it's now been reported, is going to say to Premier League clubs and to encourage referees now to view the pitch side monitor. Do it today! Not wait again another week. We've got three critical games this afternoon. Do it today!
Well, they've
they've had the opportunity to do that all season, and not one of them has gone to view the monitor. That's because Mike doesn't want them viewing the monitor. That's why they're not viewing the monitor at present in the clubs. So, you know, hopefully now, you know, the shambles we're seeing at present, that hopefully we'll see that change after the international break. It's not fair on the clubs that lost out prior to the referee, the guys not going to the monitor.
Yeah, but I think you know that evens out over the course of the season. I've never been a great believer, but what you've got to draw a line under it, just to say, look, listen, you know, whatever we've done in the past isn't quite working the way that we want. We're going to have to move on, and the club should have more say in this. To say, look, listen, at the moment, I've got to be honest with you, Mark. I know a lot of people have come to me and said they were in agreement with VAR. They wanted to see it in action. And the last few weeks, they're like, you know what? It's a shambles. It's an absolute joke. And they're going to have teething problems, but I didn't think there was going to be as many as we've had. And for some of for Mike Wright to come out of time and say, we've only got 5 decisions wrong so far, you're like, well, hang on a minute. I've seen 5 in 2 games yesterday. You know what I mean? But with all due respect to him, he might be a referee, but we can all see what should have been called for certain situations. Yeah. And they've got to be realistic. You're going to have got to be more honest. You know, and I think if they come out and do that, and the other thing, sorry, just on this line, I was all for the offside. But I'm now looking at who's drawn that. Have they got a ruler and a pen and they're drawing the line? Because to me, it just looks like this
doesn't
is
look
crackers.
Straight.
It doesn't look right. I thought it would be much more technical from that point of view. You tell me, is it more technical? Because it doesn't look that way at the moment.
Ray, my opinion is if it's taking 3 minutes 47 seconds to
too long.
Too long. Yeah. It's a goal.
It's a goal.
Yeah. I think what they've got to do, you should be able to tell offside within 30 seconds, a minute at most. That's long enough to look at the clips.
Great point that you make, Mark. Just finally from you, you can sort of mention VAR, but when you manage the big games in the Premier League, Manchester United against Liverpool, more for you, or an Arsenal, Manchester United, or whatever. Today it's Liverpool, obviously, against Manchester City later on. You'd prefer that probably with the state of VAR at the moment, if you're doing that game, without VAR rather than with it, wouldn't you?
You've got to set a high tolerance level with challenges and things like that. But I would have liked VAR now, but not in its present, the way they're using the present. I would have definitely wanted to go and view the monitor in a massive game like this. It is, you know, you could say it's a title decider, because if Liverpool go on and go, 9 points clear or whatever, I think they're going to win a league.
How do you think VAR, with the referees today, how much impact do you think it has having on them as referees? Do you think they're refereeing the game as they would like, or they're feeling the pressure of VAR constantly in their ear telling them what they should be doing?
Listen, I mean, I personally, you know, speaking with some of them, they would want to view the monitor.
Now to the most shocking moment of the weekend, indeed possibly the most shocking moment of the sports century so far, from the warm-up, and Jeff Brazier admitting to Jules Breach that he follows a second team.
Chelsea are, whether it's because of Lampard and the great job he's doing, they're definitely my second favourite team at the moment. And it's not to blow
any
smoke.
You're not allowed to have a second favourite team when you support Tottenham. You can't have another London club, Jeff.
I can and I will. I, again, not bigging up Chelsea, because they didn't mean to be in this predicament that they've benefited from largely. But ultimately, the way that the kids have come through and are taking their opportunity, the way that Lampard and Jody Morris are obviously coaching them fantastically well. They're playing great football, and they're just proving all along that if you give players a chance, that they will prove you right for selecting them.
Back to game day, your verdict, and England manager Phil Neville speaking to Anne-Marie Batson after the Lionesses were beaten at a massively packed Wembley against Germany.
I'd say the first 20 minutes and the last 8 minutes was the periods of the game that cost us a result, and the bits in between. I thought we played really well. We had a game plan, and what happens, and it's a massive learning curve for the players, is that in the biggest occasions, on the biggest stages, in front of the biggest crowd, sometimes you don't stick to what you've practiced all week and the game plan that you've obviously worked on. And then when we got control of the game, and I've got to say we were probably lucky after 22 minutes, we were probably lucky to only be 1-0 down, and that was probably I was thinking, how do we reverse this? Then we started to play the way that we'd worked on. Then I found that they dropped off. They were on the back foot, and we got control of the game, which is what we wanted from the start. And then in the last 8 minutes, we gave them back the control that I thought we'd had from that period of 20 to 82 minutes.
I was going to ask you about control, because Germany are the second best team in the world. So they're a team that, you know, one of the most dominant teams in the world in terms of the rankings. How do you get control of a team like that?
Well, we did because we started to play the way that the players had trained all week. We played more balls into their half. We played more into their final third. We got control in their mid to defensive third. And that's where we wanted to play the game against Germany, because we know their physical qualities means that they will press us. And we didn't want them to give them any kind of encouragement. And that's what we did in the first 10, 15, 20 minutes, which meant that they smelt a little bit of let's go for the jugular here. And they did. And they've got good players. Marazan, Pop, are fantastic players. De Brits in midfield, Magull. They're world-class players, and they showed that for 22 minutes. And after that, I thought our midfield got control. Our wide players, I thought, were fantastic in terms of their movements. And Ellen is a goal scorer. And I felt at half-time, you know, we'd obviously got back into the game. We'd scored. We'd missed the penalty. I felt at half-time that we was the team that was then going to go on and win the game. And it was cagey. We made substitutions to try and win the game, with bringing speed on in wide areas in front of, in the front four, because it was such a taxing physical game. And we just lost control in the last 8 minutes.
Some of the tackles, though, from the German players certainly raised my eyebrows. How did you view it from the touchline?
I thought it was a brilliantly competitive game. I did think at times the referee let a couple of tackles go in terms of out the ones that we received, but I thought it was a top class women's game of football, played in a really good spirit, played between two teams that really wanted to win with great rivalry, and I think that's why people turned up today, because of the quality that they saw on the field.
I'm Darren Goff, and this is TalkSport Daily.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This episode of the TalkSport Daily is brought to you by Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Planning to hire or share a car or van? Enterprise is there every step of the way. Whenever and wherever you need a vehicle and whatever it's for, Enterprise can help. With over 450 locations across the UK, they're just around the corner. Whether you need a weekend rental, a holiday hire, a replacement car, or you're planning a business trip, home or away, Enterprise are there to help. To find out more and book, visit enterprise.co.uk.
And finally, to Glory Hunters with Charlie Baker. Now, that podcast is available to download right now, as it is every Monday morning.
This is Glory Hunters on TalkSport with me, Charlie Baker. Today's fixture sees Russell Grant and Bob Mills fly the flag for Middlesex, whilst Jeff Norcott and Natalie Sawyer are representing AFC Wimbledon. Time now to incur the wrath of all decent thinking people as we enter the round known as
Sporting Heretics.
Let's go now to Bob Mills. And you are saying teams should change their kits more often.
Before I fell into the world of light entertainment some years ago, I spent the first 10 years of my working life in the fashion industry.
Oh.
And of course, the big thing about the fashion industry is seasonal fashion. Mm. You have your autumn collections, your spring collections, your summer collections, and your winter collections. And even those collections are subdivided into different sort of holidays and that. I'm a Leighton Orient fan, and Leighton Orient's one of our best seasons is when our kit was designed by one of the Conrans. Not, wasn't Sir Terence, it was one of the kids they gave the job to. And I've always felt that there should be at least four kits a season. So you should have a first kit that you start. This is your starting kit. This is our
own
kit.
Summer
and
kit.
It should be. Yeah. Well, it should be a plain kit where the reds or the blues or the greens or the yellows is just a shirt.
Lovely.
And we're starting. And then as you move in into the season, after 10 games, when things are either doing really well, in which case you brighten up.
Yeah, lovely, yeah.
Or
lovely.
They're getting tricky.
This is a lovely idea.
In which case you get a stripe or a sash or yeah, something lovely. Like that.
Sequins.
Sequins, I'm looking
fabulous
over the Christmas.
What a lovely
season.
Idea!
Oh, and faux fur trim.
I believe fur trim.
Russell, fur trim. Revolutionised the game.
Rhinestone, I'm thinking, and some little added extras.
Top of the league.
Rah-rah skirt.
Yes, and some kind of maybe a muff neck.
I love like a muff.
That. Or a wide bolero sleeve or something like that.
Or bolero.
And then the end of the season.
I want this kit now.
The end of the season where you're there and you're just fighting. I think it's just a shirt, a button-up shirt,
yeah.
With maybe a button-down collar and a pleat at the back and a gingham or something like that.
Pants and vest, like at school. Like, if you forgot your kit at school, pants
that's
and vest.
That's for the players.
No kit.
The pants and vest. I like the American football, the Australian rules for, with a very tight short and no arms.
Lovely,
I
yes.
Like that.
I like
sleeveless.
That. That's the summer. That's the summer
a
kit.
Sleeveless shirt, something
moving
like
to winter,
that.
A big and jumper,
also,
big turtleneck.
It's a way of making money.
Yes.
Because what you're thinking is, well, not just our supporters will buy them, the fashionista yeah. Will get involved.
Yeah, I like that.
Eventually, I see 11 different shirts.
Oh, yes. However well you've played all season.
Yeah,
yes, a very, very
striker's
good.
Striker's shirt, goalkeepers have got their own kit. Why shouldn't strikers have their own kit?
Someone suggested to us on the show I do on a Saturday morning the other day that if a goalkeeper goes up at the end, in the last couple of minutes for a corner, he should have a cloak. Should have a cloak to put on.
And what did they say? Why they should
no, just because it's.
I would say cape.
Why not entertainment? A cape or a cloak? Yeah, you know.
Or one of those old-fashioned like dun dun dun.
Yeah, he's going up. Imagine that.
Well, wingers should wear cloaks. Central defenders
in cloaks.
Central defenders should always be poncho. They should always wear a poncho.
You've been listening to the TalkSport Daily Podcast with me, Danny Kelly. It's my show, after all. It's my podcast now. Please remember to subscribe to my podcast and be safe out there, everyone.
That was a podcast from TalkSport.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whatever your mission, home or away, don't delay. Enterprise has the vehicle for the job. Rent from the best lineup in the UK. With over 450 branches, Enterprise has what your business needs. From compact three-door cars to spacious SUVs and people carriers to vans, they offer a large range of reliable vehicles perfect for the job. To find out more and book, visit enterprise.co.uk.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.